this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good to be back, man. Around a year ago this time, I think like a day or two difference, I came back from my paternity leave, and I mean, that was a wild ride. And man, I had so many nights listening to The Fan, changing diapers, making bottles, my son waking up out of his sleep, screaming and yelling every 90 minutes. Man, I'm so thankful that it's not a thing anymore. He sleeps straight through the night now, but you don't know when you're a new parent. It feels like forever. And you know, I would listen to The Fan, and I'm like, bruh, there's so many different people that they can put on in the overnight. I remember the one show I really enjoyed was Zoo and Gallo's show. And I don't know, you know, there's always like imposter syndrome that sets in. I don't care who you are. You have some thoughts like, man, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe there's people that are better than me. Maybe they're going to give me, you know, give my spot to somebody else. Man, I got to come back and kill. Or I might not have a gig. I might not have this job anymore. But, you know, fast forward a year, I don't feel like that anymore. Happy to be back. KM to 2 a.m. Let's get right to the phone. Josh and Passaic on The Fan. Hello.
Hey, Gabe. Long time no speak. How you doing?
Good, man. How you been? How's the summer treating you?
Good. Very good. I wanted to call you last week. Just hard. It was like hard times. A few times I forgot you're on then. And one time I called the job too late and I had to go somewhere. But very good. I had a few basketball games, had a few barbecues, and not really paying attention to too much.
Boy. 16? You're 16 this summer?
Yeah, I turned 16 2 months ago.
Man, that's a good time. You starting to whip? You starting to drive?
No, not yet. I'm still taking slow. I haven't really put too much thought to that even
okay,
yet.
Okay, take your time with it. Don't rush.
But I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me.
He's always driving. You're good.
Right. And then, I mean, my mother also, he does all the work for my mother driving around, so I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
No, you don't have to be. You have that luxury.
Right. So, thank you. First, with the Mets, do you think we've seen now enough from Mark Vientos that he's an MLB hitter?
I just think that we got to put respect on his name for two reasons. I think, you know, being sent up and sent down is tough. And, you know, being a young guy trying to make it amongst these made men and these big names that the Mets did have last year and still kind of have, it's challenging to break through. But now, you know, similar to parts of last year when he broke through late or had some success late, like once the pressure is off the Mets, honestly. Whatever they do, if they win, great. If they lose, same old Mets, you know what I'm saying? So the pressure is off of this young man. He's getting an opportunity. I wouldn't say that we can say he's a major league hitter, but he's doing it at this level where you got to feel good about putting him in a spot and seeing more of this. He's hitting the ball for average. He's getting on base. He's hitting home runs. So you hope that this continues.
Right. Just and, of course, Beatty, you know, goes down. Hits two homers, but he didn't look ready. I don't even know what it is about him, but I love this new lineup. More of just like not seeing McNeil. Even though Iglesias has trouble throwing the ball to first base, he gets hits. The catcher situation, whatever, just hold out until Alvarez is back. But kids, now not complaining about McNeil, but how do you think they play this right now with McNeil?
Yeah, like it doesn't matter. They don't owe anything to Jeff McNeil. They can do whatever they want with Jeff McNeil. They said he's working on some things, and your manager spoke to what we all speak to. This is a guy who won a batting title. They're trying to get that version of Jeff McNeil out. If he's not facing lefties, if he's not whatever it is, like they don't owe anything to Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil winning that batting title and being awarded that contract is great, but they don't owe him playing time. They're not in a position where they have to do anything with Jeff McNeil, so I wouldn't even worry about it because, honestly, most Mets fans wanted to see him less anyway.
Right. No, I'm not curious about how they were playing him. I'm just curious what his trade value is right now. Is it anything at all?
I don't know. If I was calling the Mets, I think I'd ask for 5 or 6 players at least before I got to Jeff McNeil.
Well, after, you know, after the first year I got, and now you know this bullpen itself, that it's so unfortunate with Reed Garrett. We thought that the Mets had found this gem, but that's the way these bullpen guys run. It had this with Drew Smith a few years ago. Also, a guy had a ERA the first month and a half. He's actually been good the last 2 years. I wonder if Garrett will get back to not giving up so many runs. This guy, you know, turns like a mini Adam Ottavino. And Ottavino himself, it's crazy because every single game, every time after the game, I always hear on the Fan, whoever it was, even I heard this, I think, from Joe Beningo, from Saturday, that why is Ottavino still in? And we say this every time, they continue to throw this guy out. But that's why I was very impressed on Sunday when they're up by two runs. About one run, and Ottavino comes in, and I knew they'd blew the game, because that's just type of the Mets are whenever they're up by one run, and it wasn't Ottavino that blew it. That was the one good thing I took out of that game. But his ERA is high. Hope to never have to see him again.
The thing I say about Adam Ottavino, or what Frank the Tank says, Adam out the lead goes, you know and I know that this guy was done, right? Like, I referenced that he was sitting next to Sal Licata, and I don't know, JJ and whoever else on Baseball Night in New York. I thought that he was transitioning to being Jerry Blevins, and then he came back. They brought him back, and it's like, you didn't have to do that, and you don't owe him anything either.
Right.
You don't have to keep running him out there. He ain't got it anymore. This is a guy that said he could strike out Babe Ruth. He said some other random stuff. He's cooked, and it's okay. He had a great career. He's done.
All right, kid. Thanks for taking my call, and enjoy your Yanks.
You can enjoy them too, Mets fans. Enjoy the Yankees. You can enjoy them quietly. You don't have to tell anybody. They're fun to watch. If you watch baseball, if you like watching good baseball, they're fun to watch. And you know what? You live in this local area, you can watch them on TV. Like, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to wait all 3 hours, 8 innings, and sit on the edge of your seat like, are they going to blow it? Like, watch both. I never used to do that, though. I understand if you can't stand the Yankees. But if you can't stand the Yankees, what are you obsessing over Juan Soto so much for? I don't know. You can't do both. Let's go to Lakewood and talk to Ari on the Fan. What's up, Ari?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. After this game, they're comparing the Yankees, Soto, Judge, and Stanton to the Murderers' Row.
Of course they are, right? Didn't they do that with, like, Didi Gregorius, Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez?
But these are different stats. These are 15 homers past 62 games.
Oh, these are way different. You see Stanton hit that homer today, too? We got to give him some love.
Yeah, put the past behind him.
Yeah, he's not the whipping boy. We can't point at him. We can't boo him. This guy does not play every day, but when he connects, he connects. He deserves some talk in this Judge, Soto, how great they are. Yeah, Stanton is still around and still contributing.
Yep, and after this road trip, 7-2, I think it was, they're not stoppable.
Yeah, they're not trying to lose games. We play today, we win today, that's it. That's Mariano Duncan. I need to make those shirts, because I don't know if Mariano Duncan is making them shirts. I need to put them shirts out for us to order. Win every game. Stack wins. You know why? Because we don't know who we're going to lose. We didn't know Clark Schmidt was going to go down. So you have to fight and scratch and claw to win every game so that you're up there in the standings and you're creating good habits. The habit that Juan Soto has, stepping in that box, and it's him versus the pitcher, him versus the ump, him versus the catcher, man, those habits have bled through the team. Now everybody steps into that box. I'm wearing my Savages shirt tonight. They're Savages in the box again.
Yep, then we got Doogie.
Exactly, another guy that, like, he's stepping in there, and it's like they're low-key not thinking he's going to, whoop, home run, triple.
Yep, thanks, Keith. Take that call.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. You made some good points. The Murderer's Row. Like, I remember there was a Murderer's Row t-shirt with Judge. But it was like Judge, Didi, Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez was like the new Murderer's Row. And I don't buy shirts like that. I got 100 Yankee shirts. I just went through my stuff. Some of the creatures, yo. I'll be at the game tomorrow, Friday. I'm going to bring some shirts. Some of them are brand new that I just never wore. There's some shirts I never wore. I'm just trying to, you know, get them out of the closet. But shirts like that, even the, what was it, the Run DMC shirt? when it was no, it couldn't have been. It was Miller, Betances, and Chapman. So maybe it was Run DMC, Dellen, Miller, Chapman. Remember they made those Run DMC shirts? I'm like, this is going to be short-lived. Don't spend the $35 on this shirt. So sure. If they want to say that this is the new Murderer's Row, so be it. What this is tip my cap to Brian Cashman, tip my cap to Aaron Boone, tip my cap to Hal Steinbrenner. This is a response to Yankee fans having to watch this team not be able to score more than 3 runs a game. Daniel in New Hampshire on the Fan in New York.
My guy, Keith, what's going on? Been a minute since I called.
Abracadaniel, welcome back.
So, you know, I wanted to make a point about, you know, what we're going to do with the deadline, you know, things to look at ahead of all that. But so much of what you've said has been like, you know, so much of what I've talked about, you know, the urgency of winning a championship. Like you said, this isn't because, you know, the Rangers lost. And this is coming from huge Rangers fan, huge Knicks fan. Like, obviously, personally, I'm disappointed they lost. But, you know, the Yankees got to win one for the sake that they're the Yankees. You know, it's been 15 years. Like, we got to, you know, this looks like this could be the team.
Right. What other team is bringing multiple parades through the city? What other team is putting up banners? Like, this is what the Yankees are supposed to do. This is the whole brand.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, to that point, like, you know, it's been this long. And, you know, I remember Gio was talking about it this morning, too, saying, you know, I'm done having any expectations of my team winning a championship. But, you know, we should enjoy what we have now.
He's not with us. And I'll be asleep when he's talking. So I don't know. I miss that. He's a Mets fan, I'm pretty sure.
No, yeah. But, you know, it's, you know, by balance of, you know, enjoying this team now, but, you know, understanding that, you know, this is a team that 2017, 2019, like, we felt like this team was right there, right on the cusp. And now, you know, we're looking back, you know, 7 years from 2017, and we still haven't won it. You know, the urgency is right there. This window isn't as big as it might seem.
Yeah, but, you know, all the stories of those teams are different, and this team's roster is way better. 2017 was playing with house money, was ahead of schedule.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody expected it. That magic carpet ride to a game 7 against a team that cheated us, we'll never know how that could, like, that was so much fun because it was like, the evil empire is back. The Yankees rebuilt the empire with the baby bombers, and they're a game away from the World Series that fast. Okay, you know.
Yeah, and that team had a different dynamic too, where you know I'm someone we've spent our time together at the bodega. You, me, and my buddy Dan, a Mets fan, certainly appreciate the Yankees.
Yo, what's up with him, bro? What's up with him? Not wearing, like, I saw him wearing a free Yankees giveaway shirt.
Yeah, the Stato shirt.
He claims he's a Mets fan, but he comes and kicks it at Yankee Stadium and wears the free merch. I see him. He's not low. I see him.
There may or may not be a picture laying around somewhere of him rocking pinstripes, but I'll keep that one close to the vest.
Shout out to him. I saw he got a job at the Post.
Yeah, he just started there just this week. So big shout out to him, doing big things.
Tell him I said congrats. Come get a drink at the bodega this week. During the homestand.
Yeah, drinks are on us at the bodega, Dan.
Yeah,
but no, for me, like I grew up a Yankee fan in New England, and I remember that 2017 year. I had, you know, teachers. I was in high school then. That 2017 run, I had teachers who were, you know, huge Sox fans saying, like, I never imagined I'd say this, but like the Yankees are like an underdog. Like, I'm almost rooting for them. Like, is what teachers are coming up to me saying. I was like, that team just had such a different feel because, like you said, playing with house money, like, we didn't really expect them to go that far. Then all of a sudden they're, you know, going blow for blow with the Astros and the ALCS.
So think about then as the starting point, as I've talked about this Yankees window and the urgency to win with Aaron Judge under contract and Cole, who wasn't on that team, and Stanton, who wasn't on that team. Like, that's when it started, right? They got to get Aaron Judge to a World Series. Aaron Judge got to get himself to a World Series. And 2019 was completely different, right? Because we relied on backups, replacement players. I heard Chris talking about this last night. I'm like, go ahead, C-Mac, remind these people that we were doing that with Gio Urshela and
Talkman.
Mike Ford and Mike Talkman and Breivik Valera. And you know what I'm saying? Like, even 2022 was way different because I told folks that year, stop comparing this team's record to all of the other years. They're not that. They're not these, like, they don't have the core four. They don't have the guys that have been, you know, tested and been through. Like, these guys are becoming and figuring it out, and we have weak links. There's not that many weak links on this team, and there's enough veterans on this team and leadership on this team where I feel differently about these guys, but I'm in no rush to talk about World Series or bust. Duh.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that kind of brings me to, you know, what my original point was, Colin, is that, you know, obviously, you know, you look around with what this team's done so far, it's hard to complain really about anything. But obviously, you know, long season, we saw in 2022, great start. Granted, that team didn't have Juan Soto, but great start. You know, time went on down the stretch, things kind of started to fall apart. We had injuries to the bullpen. And, you know, by the time we got to the ALCS, it was just, you know, kind of went out, you know, with a whimper.
Sweat.
Like, you know, what are kind of some of the moves, you know, looking at the deadline? And we've seen rumors about maybe Ryan McMahon from Colorado. Like, you know, obviously there are some guys like Rizzo and Torres have been kind of, to an extent, underperforming this year. Torres in particular, like, you know, sure. There's going to be, obviously there's going to be supplementary moves that have to be made, maybe some more depth in the bullpen. Like, you know, what do you think is kind of the biggest key to make sure that another down the stretch collapse, you know, for lack of a better term, doesn't happen again like 2 years ago?
Thanks for queuing me up. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate the call. Great segue into what you should be looking forward to. The trade deadline, which it's the deadline. It's the last day that you could make a move. It's July 30th, and you heard your GM, who many of us wanted fired. Not me. I told him to his face, hey, bro, I didn't go to fire Cashman Knight. I never bought one of those shirts. I was never getting down with that because I knew you'd be here, and you will be here until you're ready to not be here. But I told Cash, yo, if this is the team, bro, if we're feeling like this and we felt like this in other years, like not like, I guess this is closer to 22 than 19 or 17, but like we're feeling like this could be the year, go all in at the deadline and stack the deck. And what I mean is any area of concern, if it's a first base with Rizzo, why not get another guy that can play first base in the event that Rizzo is hurt or slumping or not good enough? If it's a Gleyber Torres who scares me half to death, I just told y'all, like, I can't get over it, man. It's just like simple things that Major League Baseball players in the infield, simple play. Even tonight, bro, there was a throw that Gleyber made that got Rizzo off the bag where I'm just like, I can't do it with this guy. But I understand everybody loves him and he's a good guy and he wants to be a Yankee for life. But like, Cash, if there's another option out there, I don't know, yo. You see what they're doing to Jeff McNeil after they gave him the bag. We don't have to do this with Gleyber. Stack the deck. I was screaming the last couple years. You have generational talents. You have guys. Man, I was watching this kid on the Bronx Zoo. Shout out to Jake because he just posted me on the Bronx Zoo as well. There was a kid on the Bronx Zoo. He had a Tanaka shirt on, a player tee, a jersey. I still got mine. I got to break it out just to flex Tanaka. I think I wore my Yogi Berra one in here the other day. I got a bunch of those too. Man, Tanaka not pitching in the World Series is criminal. Playoff Tanaka, postseason Tanaka, big game Masahiro, the sun will come out. Tanaka, like, not getting to see that man get on the Fall Classic main stage in the Big Apple, like, that's crazy, bro. We can't have that happen with Gerrit Cole. We absolutely cannot have that happen with Aaron Judge. Can't happen with Giancarlo Stanton, who, I don't care what y'all say, that man could be a Hall of Famer. Like, I mean, who cares about the Hall of Fame at this point? But, like, he just had his 1,500th career hit. This guy might hit, I don't know, 500 bombs. He's been an MVP. Like, you want to get that guy into a Fall Classic. We saw him go Barry Bonds in the postseason a couple years back. What was that, 2020? And it didn't matter. He shows up when it's time. So what I'm saying to you folks is, Brian Cashman knows we don't have a lot of time. Hal Steinbrenner knows we don't have a lot of time. The time is now, and we take this day by day, series by series, week to week, and in about a month and some change, it'll be trade time. It'll be trade deadline time. Obviously, they're going to get some other relievers. I know, what do you say, Ryan McMahon? I see a lot of people on Yankee Twitter throwing Ryan McMahon's name out there. I mean, he could come through, but the Rockies gotta want to play ball, right? He's a guy that's like, oh yeah, sure. As I'm talking about a guy, I think he can play, like, similar to like DJ. He can play three different positions in the infield. That's another thing. I know you guys want to possibly upgrade third base, but like Okay, so if we're being greedy, get me an infielder that can play first base, second base, third base, maybe two, and get me a left-handed reliever. Man, get me, I don't know. But that's what Cashman's supposed to know. That's what Cashman's supposed to do. And I'm sure he has a crew of guys, and they're working on it. When I talked to him, he said, we always try. And that's the least we can do is try. And I wanted to hit him with the Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. But I wasn't going to do that to Brian Cashman. He has to deal with enough. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking Yanks for a little bit. Josh called to talk about the Mets. We can do that as well. But it's just more fun to talk about the Yankees right now. Let's take a break. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Yeah, we didn't do those last week because it's kind of hard to give somebody a big shot of the night at 6 o'clock, 6:30. But yeah, we got a good big shot of the night coming up next. Shout out to Casamigos, my guys. What's Petey Pablo say? Oh, because I drink it and they paying me for it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Welcome!
Casamigos' big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos' big shot of the night is Luis King of the Heel. Like, what else do I got to say about this guy that I didn't already say? They're talking about him as one of the best pitchers in the league, potentially starting the American League All-Star Game. Like, he's got a 1.82 ERA, which is the best in the American League. Tonight he goes 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, no earned runs, 6 Ks, 3 walks. He's the hottest pitcher in baseball. Just watch him pitch. Like, when you're deciding what Yankee game to go to, he's a part of the decision, right? Who's pitching tonight? Luis Hill? Oh, yeah, I want to go see that. Right? I was listening to Ricky Ricardo. Shout out to Ricky. I know Ricky might be, you know, he might still be at the stadium. Nah, Ricky should be in his car service or his whip driving home. But yeah, I was listening to Ricky and Susan, which obviously I enjoyed. And, you know, obviously they're talking about Luis Hill, but then they were talking about the other starting pitcher for the Twins. Ober? What's his last? Bailey Ober? I'm not even familiar with, bro. But Ricky Ricardo referred to him as melatonin on the mound. And then Susan's like, melatonin never worked for me. I don't know. I enjoyed those two. So, you know, props to Ricky Ricardo again. If you didn't hear me in my open talk about, you know, Ricky Ricardo on the game, he's a legend. He's great. Like, and he's not just like, well, I appreciate Ricky from the first time I actually met him and his approach towards me, not knowing who he was. What I appreciate about him is something that I share. Like, I have a love for sports and music. And I've been able to do some things in music. I was a DJ. I worked at Guitar Center for a minute. Worked at MTV. Want to get back into DJing. Wish I became a rapper. Wish I had more time to rap. Man, Ricky has lived the music lifestyle. Go look up Ricky Ricardo's Wikipedia. He's been on music radio. And now he's doing sports radio. There's not too many people that do that. I always give Rosenberg his props over at the other station, because I'm like, yo, as much as people try to trash this guy, try to roast this guy, troll this guy, and hate on this guy, he is on the number one sports hip hop station and the other sports station, and it's not happening. Like, you know, it's rare. So shout out to the rareness that both of them have brought to the airwaves. 888-808-1019. Still not rolling off the tongue, Paulie. Like, I mean, it's a good number, but as far as me saying it, I can't do the BT 888. You got to just say it, and it's like 8888. It's too many eights to say.
It's just eight zeros, and then our call letter, and then the station number. That's all.
I love that it's 1019 as
right.
The four
no,
numbers.
I love that part.
But I think it would be better if it was like 777-808-1019. It's because it's just to say eight. Five times.
Well, I think 777 is taken by that cab company.
Well, I mean, any other number. One, right. You can't, I don't know. 555-808-1019. It is what it is. New number. Call the Fan. Join the show. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to Jonathan all the way out in Los Angeles.
Yo, what it do? Can you hear me?
Yo, what up? I got you. Yeah, you're back on.
Yo, yeah, back home, bro. After a long San Diego trip, Anaheim. Well, I live here in L.A. and then San Francisco, bro. But, hey, man, catching the Yanks is pretty dope. It's pretty cool. Hey, yo, Key, shout out to you, bro. I'm a Rangers fan, bro. But come on, man. That's it. Enough of Rangers talk, bro. And no offense to WNBA. Come on, man. They're making that little, like, a little push, a big old deal, man. Shout out to you, Key. You brought it hard, bro. You brought it raw, pause. But, but yeah, yo, Keith, so check this out, bro. I seen your, well, of course, I follow you and everything on IG, and you were the one person that really, like, put that Dodger thing that all these people are going to go. So, yeah, as you know, I live in L.A. I have a lot of Dodger fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen that that they're going to go on Saturday for Saturday's game, and they're going to fill up the stadium, bro, with Dodger fans, right? They're going to do the roll call, and this goes out for all the Yankee fans out there, man, all my season ticket holders. Hopefully you guys don't sell your tickets. We want to see you guys right there, bro, because they're gonna try to do the roll call to the Dodgers. They're going to try to disrespect, and they're going to go. They're going to think it's 2016 again, bro, but this is a different year, bro, and you already know what's up, Keith.
Yeah, I appreciate you sending that, because I obviously don't follow them on Instagram. My girl Serena is part of them. She'll be out here. And I got some other intel from back in 2019 when Yankee fans took over Chavez Ravine. And we were chanting, let's go Yankees. And they couldn't drown that out with let's go Dodgers. It's not going down like it went down in 2016. I happened to be there that Friday night in 2016. I'll speak to it. I wasn't on WFAN back then. I didn't have as much reach online or on air as I have now. I'm going to make every Yankee fan aware of this for sure.
Yeah, but you know what, Keith? That we don't plan it out, bro. They do. This is like a big old thing they have for like a whole year.
Right.
It was three trips. The first one was Toronto. The second one is this New York one. Mm-hmm. And I think the next one is the Boston one. So they plan it. Us Yankees fans, bro, we fill up the stadiums, bro. Trust me, I went to the San Francisco and San Diego.
Yeah,
bro.
I know.
There's nothing but Yankee fans, like true hard Yankee fans. We don't plan nothing now, bro.
It's on site. The Yankees are playing out in San Francisco. Judge is saying they're here to see the Yankees. Anaheim has always been Yankee Stadium West. That's Derek Jeter's favorite place to play outside of Yankee Stadium. You already knew the Padres. We got Juan Soto. We sent them a bunch of guys. It was up. Like, I already know what time it is, man. I'm going to speak to it. John, you're the man, bro. Thanks for the call. So, you know, John tipped me off to the Pantone 294 group, which I told you guys about the last couple weeks. Here in New York, you're familiar with the 7 line. And you might remember years ago, the 7 line taking over a couple sections of Yankee Stadium. I was in there for that, too. Didn't like it. But once upon a time, the Yankees ticket office obliged and security would protect these folks. It's not like that anymore. Security's still protecting people. Yankees tickets are still being sold by the ticket office. But they let the Dodgers fans in 2016, I'll never forget this because I was sitting up in like 206, 207, so I had a bird's eye view from, you know, what we were going to call the bird's nest back then when we thought Greg Bird was going to be something. I think it was section like 132, right by the foul pole. I posted the picture on my Instagram and Twitter today. They let the Dodgers fans buy up the whole section. So what they were able to do is get loud chants from one part of the stadium in unison. Well, yeah, you're going to hear that. Where's the roll call coming from? 203. You hear that on the broadcast. And, I mean, I was so mad. I remember getting out of my seat. And the dudes I was with, they weren't coming with me. They didn't have any interest. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Yankee Stadium is a home away from home. I'm like, let me go see. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to hit anybody. I'm not going to throw anything. But I'm like, man, let me just go see what this section looks like filled with Dodgers fans. And as you were approaching the section, security wasn't even letting you walk up because they thought Yankee fans were going to try and harm these people. Now, I don't know what they got planned this year. Actually, I do know, so why don't I start spilling the beans? I know we got to handle the Minnesota Twins first, but Pantone 294 is the Dodgers 7 line group, and they plan these trips, and they go across the country 2,000 fans deep. They have confirmed 2,000 fans coming to New York this weekend, obviously, for the greatest series of all, right? A World Series preview. The Yankees hosting the Dodgers, right? Please, if I might make the sign. I'm going to say Shohei is guilty. Shohei bet on baseball. Shohei, like, I'm coming through with it. I'm trying to clear it with my wife. I'm there Friday. I'm going to beg to go Saturday. Like, it's a night game. The boy's going to be sleeping. I need to be out there because these folks think that this is what they have planned. They have a plan to march 2,000 deep down River Ave and into Yankee Stadium. How? How is that going to work? We are out there. People party out in front of stands, out in front of Twins. Yankee fans are just in the streets. You're not going to just march through the street. What are you going to be chanting? Let's go Dodgers? Like, just come in peace, come correct, be cool, keep everything copacetic. Because it's just not going to go how you think it's going to go. You can do that in Toronto. You can do that in some other places. But, like, Yankee fans with a team like this and with this series coming up being sold out, like, I already sent the word. And you just heard Jonathan, right? He's like, yo, these Pantone fans think they're coming to take over your stadium, and their plan is to drown out our roll call.
But there's nothing wrong with that, right? In theory, as long as nobody gets physical, whatever, there's nothing wrong with them trying to, like, chant louder than yay. That you're cool with that,
buyer,
though, right?
Buyer beware, enter at your own risk, do what you think you can do.
Right,
what I'm going to tell you from my own knowledge is this is the Bronx, New York, as happens. So don't just roll up thinking that this is Chavez Ravine. Let's go Doyos. Like,
sure.
It's not going down like that.
No, I would think
on a Saturday night. Or Friday, I think they're trying to. They have some type of stunt plan Friday night.
I would
Saturday
think there's going to be
well.
A lot more. You would think security is going to be on heightened alert,
the
and
police,
maybe NYPD, whatever.
The NYPD, yeah. Block off River Ave. You're not marching through there without that getting broken up. Some of y'all are going to be by the park. Some of y'all are going to be by the
now,
bars.
Now, if they're smart, they arrange with the NYPD already. If I wonder if they did that, just make the call and be like,
yeah,
hey,
the NYPD that at least 50% are Yankee fans.
Yes.
And well, the one specifically stationed in the Bronx.
And you know what on the subject of the Dodgers real quick? They were just in New York like last week.
Yeah.
They flew back to LA for
Colorado. I thought that was strange too. But
flying back to Pittsburgh.
There's a lot of teams that are doing that. It's still an East Coast swing for them.
They went home for 3 days.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Don't they have another? Aren't they playing the Phillies? I haven't looked at their schedule.
So they were at Cincinnati, at New York, home for Colorado for 3 games, in Pittsburgh, in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah. Then they, I don't know. I thought they were playing the Phillies or somebody. I don't know.
It's a bizarre schedule.
Yeah, I don't know. It's different now. I'm sure the Dodgers have a ridiculous plane. That it's not hard for them to just, hey, guys, let's just...
Oh, of course, no, of course, all these teams have ridiculous plans. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying from a schedule perspective,
it's not
that's
like
strange.
It's not like it used to be. I remember when I was in the fan cave, it's like, okay, these guys on the Kansas City Royals are here. They're going to play the Yankees, and then they have interleague against the Mets. Like, it's not like that anymore. But anyway, if you're going to the game Friday, Saturday, Sunday, these are nationally televised games. Apple TV Plus on Friday. Fox, Game of the Week, America's Game of the Week on Saturday. And then Sunday, ESPN has Sunday Night Baseball, of course. There are 2,000 Dodgers fans confirmed, and I'm getting intel, and maybe some of them might be listening right now because of the power of the internet, like Jonathan said, you know, some of them are on me like that. If they're listening, they should listen. Like, just be nice. Talk nice to us. Don't roll through with your Ohtani jerseys, chanting "Let's go Dodgers!" like you run stuff around here, because you don't. This is a Yankee team that we all believe in, and now even the non-believers, the fair weather fans, the casual fans that are more into the Rangers or the Knicks, they're popping back out. It's going to be hot outside, and there's going to be some people that aren't aware who you are, what you are, and they're going to see a pack of LA Dodgers fans, and they're just not going to like the look of it. They're not going to like the look of all of this Dodger blue coming through River Ave on a Saturday night trying to get into the stadium. So I'm letting y'all know. I let y'all know a couple weeks ago.
That's a juicy, juicy, juicy World Series potential matchup, man. Which
that
would be awesome for all the reasons.
Dream. That is Major League Baseball's dream.
Yes.
For a 7-game series between New York and LA. Man, I was going to do a thing tonight where we look around baseball. There are so many bummy teams in baseball. There are so many teams in baseball that are, I don't know, barely over 20, 25 wins, where when you look, that's why it's a joke to tell me where teams are looking at the wild card standing right now. There's just so many trash teams. They're not, like, the White Sox have 15 wins. The Angels have 22 wins. The Athletics, man, they're standing on business with 24 wins. Like, they're not good, bro. They're not good. I thought the Blue Jays, this was supposed to be the movie, the sequel, the part two. Yeah, they're in last place. In the National League, the Marlins, did they sweep the Mets? They have 21 wins. The Rockies, 21 wins. There are just so many teams that are already out of it. They are dreaming for it to be Yankees, Dodgers. I know that from my little bit of time being around Major League Baseball people, and you don't got to be around people in Major League Baseball. Just do the math. They're major cities. They have history. The Brooklyn Dodgers, obviously, leaving New York and going over there. There's just so many storylines. The legendary announcers, players. It would be great if that World Series actually happened, and they're looking at this upcoming weekend as a small preview. So we'll do more on that. We'll do more on this Minnesota Twins series tonight. We'll talk about the Mets as well. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Thanks for listening. Hold on. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Check it out now. You already know, man. It's nighttime. You're listening to The Fan. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Restoring that Yankee vibe, that Yankee feeling. After the Yankees game, after the Yankees win, here I am. This is the third season in a row to talk about the best team in New York, the best team in baseball. All our hopes and dreams rest on the New York Yankees. Yeah, all the time, yo. Something I learned, like, really young as a kid. Seasons change. Like, sports seasons change with the season. It's great for your basketball team to be playing into late May, June. It's rare. It's late for your hockey team to be playing when they're playing in June. It's rare. But it's like, yo, you understand, like, they're not alone. Most of the league is done. It's rare for especially the Knicks and the Rangers to end up here in the Final Four. The Knicks didn't get there. The Rangers did. But ultimately, it's a failure. We want the Cup. Stanley Cup or bust. It was a failure. For the Knicks, I listened to C-Mac talk about it, and I'm like, thank you, C-Mac. Being a fan of the Knicks and Rangers, which I'm not, it sounds different coming from a fan being like, they lost. Why are we making all these excuses? Why are their fans chanting Nixon 8 outside of the Garden? That's pathetic. Move on. The season has changed. It is summertime now. It is warm outside. It is warm when I leave. I don't have a hoodie on tonight. I don't have sweats on tonight. Like, I was able to walk out of the crib and come to work in t-shirt, shorts. And I hope to be able to do that for months. It's baseball season. And we have good baseball here. Maybe not as much in Queens, but, I mean, they're also compelling. Like, I just saw Ross in Bergen County tweet at me. He said, thank God for MLB TV. We don't have to subject ourselves to the world's greatest circus for 3 months. Yeah, you do have a choice. You can be a Mets fan and not watch all of those games, every inning, every pitch. But like the Yankees, you don't want to miss a pitch. You don't want to miss an inning. You don't want to miss a game because they're playing a level of baseball where it is fun to watch. So let's enjoy it. Let's not fast forward. Let's not think about, oh, they have to win because of other teams. They have nothing to do with each other. This is not like Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the Chicago Bulls and the White Sox. I can't think of another ownership group off the top of my head that owns multiple teams. I'm sure I can if I think about it, but it's not important. What I'm saying is, like, the Yankees are the Yankees, and their standard and their motto and their tagline and their pitch, what they sell, like, it is the exact same. Nothing has changed because it's not 1994. Good. 1994, what happened to the Yankees? They didn't get to finish the job. So that's not going to happen this year, I hope, I think. Let's go to Bergen County and talk to Michael on the Fan. What's up, Mike? You got it.
Hey, man. What's going on, dude?
You know, just good to be back. Happy to be back. I was sick last night, and I was miserable about it, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think I met you outside the dugout one time just for a couple minutes. But just so you know, if you got a under 5-year-old and you're sick now, you're going to be sick for the next, like, 5 years.
Yeah, I just don't know. I love my son, like I said, but I'm like, I used to brag about being Teflon, like being in shape, eating well, not getting sick, and I have been sick more than ever this year is because of him. As soon as he's got a runny nose, as soon as he's got something, if I don't have it while I'm taking care of him, I can't avoid taking care of him, so I will have it days later, and that's what just happened to me.
That's how it happens, man. Yeah. But if I want to know, like, what would you actually do at first base? Like, supposedly Josh Bell is up. You know, he's going to be a trade candidate. And, I mean, his defense
his contract is better than
Rizzo's. With Rizzo's defense constantly degrading the way it is, would you take that bump in the offense?
Of course.
You know?
But, you know, there's so many other factors, and everybody points to this. Rizzo and Judge are besties. I don't think that's a factor. I don't think that they have a line on their notes that say can't trade for a guy that might platoon or play more than Judge's best friend. What it comes down to is who's available. If you get on the phone and Josh Bell is available for nothing or something that you are willing to pay, upgrade. It's not much to think about. But also, there's a Yankee tax. Also, there's a Brian Cashman tax. And, like, not for nothing, Cashman knows this. Some of these jokers don't want to deal with him. Some of these jokers don't, like, they don't have the respect for him that other GMs might have over the years. Like, they don't want to play the Cashman game because Cashman's not giving up something for nothing, and he's not getting fleeced.
Yeah. I think the money is comparable, though. Like...
Yeah, I just saw Josh Bell's contract made in 2023 with the Guardians. It was worth $33 million, has a duration of 2 years. So there's another year after this one. The contract is nothing. It's not a big deal. But I don't know if they do that. Sure, in theory, it's like, man, put another bopper like that in the lineup. Isn't he a lefty, too?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But you know what they're going to rest on? Rizzo is a champion. Rizzo is a Gold Glover. Rizzo has been an all-star. Thank you for the call, Michael. I'll see you at the dugout. Shout out to Vicky and Schmitty over there. I'll see y'all. That's my first stop. When I park the car, I'm in the dugout first. Yeah, tomorrow. I'll see y'all there. So it's like, shout out to Michael. Like, I think I met you outside of the dugout. High chance. Probably pretty good chance. That was me. And I'm always just like, yeah, it's me. I don't duck anything. I don't try and act like it's not me. It is definitely me. I've been going to the stadium for years. There were plenty more years where nobody said a word to me that I did not know. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We've got 2 hours left. Coming up, we'll mix in more conversation around the Mets, as well as this whole Shohei Ohtani thing and, you know, the betting scandal or whatever. It's just funny to me because I still don't believe it. Man, there's other things I want to talk about, too. We'll see what I can float out there and what you guys grab onto, but we got to fly through the calls in the next 2 hours. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.